Welcome back to the Developmental Podcast for another edition of the NXT Roundtable. My name is Michael Farah. I am unemployed. Joining me is contributor to ITRWrestling.com, Liam Stewart. Liam, how are you this... I was going to say morning, but it's afternoon for you and very late night for me. So anyway.
I am good. I am off work for a week because I am not unemployed. The only one in this call who is employed. The only one in DevPod who's employed now that Dai's gone. We really are nearly like every other wrestling podcast now.
Yeah, we used to have something different that separated us, but sadly that no longer is the case. Also joining us is... also contributor to ITRWrestling.com, Ines McFay. How is this not just the ITRWrestling.com podcast?
I don't know.
Not to be confused with Inside the Ropes.
Because, you know, they've never done a podcast before. No. Never.
They're not known for it, no.
No, not at all. But I've been okay. It's warm again, and I'm hoping it gets cold sooner, because I don't like the sun. But apart from that, I've been okay.
Good. And it's sounding like every middle-aged scouser there criticising the sun at every possible conversation. I'd like to point out, it was 0 degrees when I woke up at 8 o'clock, and Ines is complaining that it's too warm.
No, 0 degrees is perfect, right? But now it's went up to like 15, and the sun's out, and this is too much.
15 is too much. Just, anyway.
Yes.
Bring your blind down.
Yeah. It's down, it's entirely shut.
How is the, because obviously the UK have, like, I don't know, gone completely backwards with coronavirus. How's lockdown number two?
I might have it. Chelsea is self-isolating because someone at her work had it. Someone at my work had it. I went out for a meal yesterday, which was really nice.
This is why you don't work, because you get all the people at risk, whereas you can just stay at home and be lazy and do nothing.
Yeah, but money.
I still get paid, so fuck it.
And isn't that the biggest crime of all?
It's up there.
Meanwhile, while I was out of when I got out of quarantine a few weeks ago after coming back to Adelaide, because I had to quarantine because the borders between New South Wales and South Australia were closed, and they have now reopened those borders, so anyone travelling from New South Wales going into South Australia do not have to quarantine anymore. And they did that about 9 days after I finished my quarantine, which I guess is better than what they were originally going to do and open it up the day I was released from quarantine. That was handy at least. Liam and I tried to record a podcast last week, for those who were wondering why there wasn't one for the NXT show last week. There were technical difficulties.
Technical issues.
For some reason, on my end, we got about an hour into it, or 45 minutes into it, and then my Audacity decided to completely shit itself. And we lost all the files, and we didn't reschedule. So we're doing this now. So,
yeah.
At least, it's almost as if when I'm not here, this podcast falls apart.
Well, I don't know what you have to do with my laptop, but anyway.
That's why you don't record on a Mac. Audacity doesn't like Macs for some reasons.
I do remember the hassle trying to put this on my Mac. It was a problem, so you might be right there.
But, yeah, no, it's weird. I'm hoping for a second lockdown. Because I'd get 14 days paid off work, and that's fucking great. And I could work on some more, like, project-y stuff. But, yeah, other than that, students are getting the blame, and Tories seem to think that Boris did nothing wrong. So, you know, nothing that doesn't usually afflict the UK. I've got really back into listening to podcasts, though. Not particularly wrestling ones, more sort of football or, like, money type ones, but it's been good. It's reminded me that doing podcasts can be fun when you don't have to wake up early. So Adelaide time zone, excluding that stupid half hour thing, great.
Yeah, the half hour time zone is going to be weird, but also daylight savings is going to change in about a couple of weeks or so from now.
It's October, I can't remember exactly. But it's
you guys are either a few weeks before or after me, so there's going to be a period where we have a different time zone for like 2 weeks, and then it goes to this one that's going to stay to for 6 months. So we'll see where that leaves us. But yeah. Oh, well, the reason, by the way, the reason why you are loving recording in the middle of the afternoon rather than recording whenever it's because I don't have to be up at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Mm.
That is a very good point.
So I don't have to rush you guys. So what you're
saying is I should be saying thank you to Hit 105.27,000 for centralizing all their radio shows.
I mean, the least you could do is pay my salary, but that's fine.
it's okay. Ash Ketchum and Notchia are doing a massively terrible job, and I'm not saying that that's a good thing, but it is funny.
In case my previous employer was listening for whatever reason, I can't imagine why. Actually, no, to be fair, if my previous employer was listening for any reason before, I would have lost my job before. So shall we move on? What's been happening in the news today?
Well, Ennis, we both discussed before how much nicer it is going to be doing the news segments now that we technically are the news.
Oh my god.
We are the provider. If I want Aaliyah to be world champion, it just happens now, you know?
We just write it in an article and it just happens. It's how it was.
So, there's been a lot of air quotes news published recently, so we've kind of, I think we cherry picked the most engaging / discussable topics, because honestly I don't want to discuss the fact that the Riot Squad might be changing their name, because who fuck cares?
To what?
However, I suggested Live to Riot.
It would make the most sense.
So, yeah, but I guess best place to start is with main roster anymore. Traditional WWE programming on SmackDown. We'd record
you
this
make
on
it
the
sound so boring. I mean, it's main roster. It is.
I don't make it sound boring. The right way for that. But yes, we're recording this on the eve of COC, also known as Clash of Champions. And there's some good stuff going on in SmackDown and some stuff going on in Raw that I feel like Ennis and Michael, you both watch it every so often and I look at the results, so I guess Beth.
I was just going to say, I don't necessarily watch Raw. I've watched a little bit of SmackDown, but like Raw I do not watch. But I every so often will catch a clip on YouTube, which apparently is how most people are consuming Raw these days, because some of the videos on the WWE YouTube channel are getting more than their ratings are. So it shows that like WWE, that the audience does not have time to sit and watch 3 hours of wrestling every single Monday night. And also, who could blame them when, because I saw, I can't remember who it was. I can't remember who I was listening to, but they said like, they were bagging NXT for some reason. And they were talking about how NXT, is arguably the worst of the brands out there, and I'm like, I don't know
where
you can make that comparison an argument can be made for SmackDown totally, because some of the stuff on that is really top notch, but Raw really. The fake underground fighting club that no one really knows why main roster people want to be part of in the first place.
So I don't check it out mainly because I just don't care. I'll see something every so often on social media that makes me want to go and check it out, like the Jey Uso stuff.
Yeah,
that
on SmackDown.
I'm sure we'll get onto. But then I see stuff like T-bar and jockstrap and breasticles in Retribution. And then I remember, that's funny. And then I remember one of them's Mercedes Martinez, who should be on her way to winning the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships with Aaliyah right now, and instead is called, like, Revenge or Retribution or...
No, that's the name of the group.
R.
Retaliation, but, I think, is going to be...
Retaliation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasted talent is what I call it.
I will not have the disrespect of Mace, T-Bar, and Slapjack be disgraced on this podcast, and also Reckoning, because
T-Bar and Mace could deal with that, but Slapjack just ruins it all. Slapjack. Sounds like a fucking fucking carnival name.
T-Bar tried to be clever and be like, here's what each letter stands for. And people are like, yeah, but what about Slapjack?
Slapjack is like that cherry on top of just brilliant naming. But also, can we talk about, like, because what we'll call the lost developmental podcast that we did finish the recording. Liam and I talked at length, even though nobody heard it, of the Retribution angle and how it's been... Oh boy, has it been terrible on TV. But
yeah.
Then, after the naming of the members, they have now joined Twitter, and their social media game has completely turned them around in the eyes of, like, the social media wrestling community, yeah. I guess. Mm. Their banter, their way that they're calling people like Chris Jericho out, they're replying to Brian Alvarez's tweets about the ratings and stuff. Like, they, and the stuff that they're talking about, like, they're having banter with X-Pac for some reason. Like, it's,
yeah.
It really does go to show how creative these individuals on the roster can be, and how completely inept the creative and story process is for TV. Because you put these guys in charge of it, and they've nearly saved this thing in terms of online presence. We don't know what they're going to do on TV again, because they haven't been on TV since Twitter happened.
Mm.
I think it's that interesting thing of, you can look at them on social media and go, oh, this is funny. Mm. And then you remember that there is at least two really talented performers in that group. Dio Madden's also in it. But, you know, honestly... You can't look at the career trajectory of Dio Madden and be like, God, Retribution's really harming him. Like, arguably, Retribution has somehow saved him. But no, you look at someone like Dijakovic, who has gone from having no personality but great wrestling ability to something worse than no personality, which is T-Bar. it's an odd one. Ennis. Have you seen much of Retribution on Raw? I just feel like you might be someone that for some reason enjoys this.
No, God, no. Like, I've seen the fucking segments. My God. Like, the Twitter thing is funny and it's good, but it's not fucking saving this. Jesus Christ. Like, you could deal with, like, T-Bar and Mace, as I said, fine. Even the women's name, like, Retaliation and Revenge, I think is the other one.
Reckoning.
Like, fine. They're Reckoning, that's it. They're a bit hokey.
Even though that starts with a W, not an R. But they spell it with an R because they're cool.
Shut it. Anyway, they're fine. You can deal with them. It's WWE. You expect hokey names. But fucking Slapjack. What is that? Awful. Terrible, terrible.
Well, you know what? Everyone has posted the screen grab of Urban Dictionary of what Slapjack is.
Mm-hmm. And the fucking... Yeah. The worst part of it is how they've now been signed to contracts, and their logic is they're being signed to contracts, meaning they can do anything. So WWE are paying them to fuck up things in WWE.
They explained that on Twitter. Was it something along the lines of, I don't have the tweet in front of me, and I'm not going to look, because my God. Something like it'll cost them more in security and whatever, rather than just paying these people to be on the clock. How much are they paying security? Like, just out of curiosity.
Are they hiring?
Yeah. Like, okay.
You know what I think hurts it as well? This isn't a group of, like, five new people who have debuted. These are established names in Dio Madden.
Yep.
But, like, I know who Mia Yim is, so telling me she is now called RAR XD just doesn't really work.
It doesn't
Even Dio Madden, who like wasn't an established name, but he was doing Raw commentary literally 6 months ago. Like, people, even if you don't watch NXT, you know Dio Madden. And, like, Dominik Dijakovic was a big enough name in NXT that I think, even if you don't watch NXT regularly, you'll know him. Same with Mia Yim.
Well, I think because the masks on the dudes conceal the identity a lot more than what they've done with Mercedes and Mia. It's like you, it doesn't... It could be... You could take a blind person... If you've watched Raw and have seen a TakeOver ad that had Mia Yim in it, or, like, they've promoted NXT matches on Raw and SmackDown before. They've promoted Mercedes Martinez in the cage with Rhea and that sort of stuff on the main roster program. So, like, the face that they saw a week or two ago is on their screen again, but, like, disguised by the mask that they would go to the grocery store in. Like, it's an odd choice, but it's a choice nonetheless.
Also, like, what the fuck does Keith Lee think? They're on the same brand. Like, they've made it a well-known fact that Mia Yim and Keith Lee are a fucking item. You know, they were interlinked in that cross story. Like, is he just like, listen, easy wife, easy life. She does what she wants. As long as she leaves that mask at work, I do not care.
I would love... Just like, again, canon, my head wants backstage segments, this kind of thing. Keith Lee is at home, because, you know, they're all in Florida, so they can all sleep in their own bed. It's fine all the time. Keith Lee is at home. He's making his fucking boiled chicken and broccoli or whatever the fuck wrestlers eat. And Mia Yim comes home dressed all in black and a balaclava and everything. And he's like, well, that looks like something I should be worried about. Oh, well. And just continues on his merry way. Hey, Mia, what have you been up to tonight? Oh, you know, just wrecking things. It's fine.
Domestic terrorism.
It really...
The usual.
Mild vandalism, that kind of thing. We knocked over a box. We got Charlie Caruso to do an interview segment about a box knocked over. It was great.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. The fucking boxies. god.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think we all thought when we saw the tease for Retribution that this was going to be something serious, something like where we get like that NXT like superstar or like formerly released would be re-signed Vengeance angle with like Ciampa leading it or something like that. It's not. It's definitely worse.
Yes.
But I'm not going to criticise WWE writing because I love Freddie Prinze Jr. He is my childhood. And this feels like this was probably him.
Is he still there? He can get...
Probably.
I don't think he is.
Unless he left in like 2016.
I think he's been gone for years.
Just to fuck up this point.
I swear
Please.
He's been gone for years.
Nah, he only left in 2012. Are you on that?
He's been gone for nearly a decade. It's like right now blaming any releases on John Laurinaitis.
Well, to be fair, and I guess you've given me a segue, and I will take
I
it.
Have.
Speaking of Laurinaitis, obviously, unfortunately, Animal, John Laurinaitis' brother?
Yes.
Brother?
Passed away last week?
Actual
last
brother.
Week?
Yeah.
Actual brother. Joe Laurinaitis, yeah.
Joe Laurinaitis, yeah. Passed away September 22nd, so earlier this week. I haven't seen much reported around the cause of the death.
No, neither.
Nobody really wants to, you know, dig into that.
No one wants to be the person that releases the 911 call, because you don't want to be that journalist. Oh,
yeah. Obviously, the step uncle to both of the Bellas. But, yeah, obviously saddened, there's not much to say. Obviously, very storied history in Japan, WCW, WWE, even that run with Heidenreich. We'll get to him in Retrona pretty shortly.
Like portions of like obviously just due to age I caught the real tail end of Animal's career. And it was like, he was never the best wrestler, and he would pretty much, well, okay, he wouldn't say that out loud, but most people would say he was never the best, like, in-ring technician or anything. That wasn't his role. It was a case of, like, Hawk and Animal, they accentuated their strengths and hid their weaknesses really, really well. There were, that you know, there was, they had to run through a lot of people in order to be successful, and that was their gimmick. They basically were the very first team, or they might have been the first act to do the absolute run through complete jobber squash of people in wrestling back in the 80s. And so, like, they did change, and they brought a new style of what a match could be, I guess. I do remember them returning for one night on Raw, which I think was Hawk's last WWE match, was like RVD and Kane. That was that was a nice surprise. And then, like, Hawk took a choke slam and a 5-star frog splash, kicked out at 3.5, and was up on his feet in 5 seconds, which was, oh, picture perfect Hawk. LOD 2005 was definitely something.
Is that the Heidenreich era?
The Heidenreich era. I do remember as a kid, because I was like, oh, this is history, and like I had the Road Warriors DVD and stuff. I feel like, oh, this is fun. This is, and then like it just kept going. So look, it was for a short term. I think his last WWE match was on like an episode of fucking Velocity. So you know, really went out on a good note. But I mean.
Velocity has just been uploaded to the WWE Network, so all the Paul London matches.
Oh man, I can't wait to watch the best of the cruiserweight division from 2003-2004. I want to see Akio versus Billy Kidman. I want to see
Gregory Helms.
I want to see Shannon Moore versus who else was in that division? Nunzio.
Oh, the female body inspectors. Oh, full-blooded Italians.
Exactly. I am looking forward to that on the network. But yes, somehow we started talking about Velocity when a legend has passed away. Yes, exactly. It's 60 years old is really young also, but that's also the life of an 80s, early 90s wrestler. So.
Yeah.
Mm.
I was just going to say, Ennis, do you actually know who Animal is, but like I imagine you're aware of Legion of Doom.
Of course.
Like,
I've seen more of their stuff.
Do you think you've ever seen anything?
I've seen more of their stuff recently because I did the watch through the WrestleManias. I've done
the
WrestleMania
Manias, of course.
14, I think. So I've seen, I think, all their Mania
You
matches.
Did not see peak Legion of Doom at all.
Did I not?
You did not.
Okay.
Peak Legion of Doom isn't in WWE.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Their peak is like 87 in the NWA and stuff. So.
Oh,
Michael, would you like to hear who Animal's final match in WWE was against?
Oh,
it was on Velocity.
Oh, no. It was. I know this because it was one of my favorites. Paul Burchill.
It's Paul Burchill.
Not only Paul Burchill, Pirate Paul Burchill. He had the rope and he swung. He was great until he started fucking Katie Lee in 2008 for like a couple of weeks, and then they aborted that.
Who
plan.
Was his sister?
Yes.
Yeah.
What?
Technically,
stop everything.
Oh, he doesn't know.
Do you not know? Do you not know the story of Paul Burchill and Katie Lee?
No, I
that
don't
was
think
that
so.
Was that was the legitimate incest angle that WWE were going to do in early 2008, because as we know, all people in England are into incest, and they, and they teased it a few times where like Katie Lee would do a seductive promo and like stroke Paul's stomach and everything, but she was she was his storyline sister. And then they aborted it 2 or 3 weeks later because they were going to go PG. And you know what? Probably for the best.
Yeah, probably for the best. What the... Why?
I'll send you a clip. Oh, it's interesting.
I really don't want that, but please do. Oh, God.
But, yeah, shall we talk a little bit about the positive storyline to come out of WWE recently?
I know, I'm happy to be talking about incest, honestly.
I was going to say, you make a segue from incest to whatever the hell we're going on to next. Good luck.
Well, you want me to segue from incest to this? Easy. So, at Clash Champions main event, we'll probably see Roman Reigns fucking his cousin in a completely different way as Roman looks to regain control of his Universe's title as he takes on Jey Uso.
Well done.
At Clash of Champions, this storyline has been, from what I've seen, really refreshing and good. Mm. It's just seemed like both guys have been allowed to go out there and speak. Jay especially did a really good... I'm just double-checking it's Jay.
It is Jay. It is Jay. But the fact that you don't know goes into the storyline really well.
Sums up his promo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he was like, you know, everyone's like, oh, you're the big dog. There goes the champ. You know what they say to me, Oos? Which one are you? And I was like, yeah, fair. Which one are you? Like,
not the one married to Naomi.
So he's not the DUI?
He's... No. No, he's not. No.
Okay, I'm allowed to like him then, that's fine. Naomi's also out for surgery, so that puts an end to people asking her to give her a chance.
Oh, is
so
she? When was that? Okay.
Yeah. What is it? I have it here.
It's a shoulder injury or something.
Yeah, so like I went to say like fibia. Fibia is a word I'm aware. It's just it starts with an F.
Man.
It's like phalabia? No. Come on.
Injuries dropping roster members like flies, and so is COVID as well. They're gonna be double booking people soon.
Mm-hmm. Naomi undergoes surgery to remove fibroid.
Oh, fibroid? I think it's how it's pronounced.
Fibroid, yeah. Abdominal pain.
Oh.
So, tum-tum surgery.
So not shoulder. So not shoulder in the slightest.
Like nowhere near the shoulder.
And because it is surgery of the stomach, I'm sure all the little incels on the internet will see that she's secretly getting an abortion like we did with Becky Lynch. So remember that?
I remember that.
Woman takes time off for surgery and internet goes, she's clearly having an abortion. But... Yes, Michael, you watched this week's SmackDown.
Yeah.
What do you think of this Uso Roman Reigns bloodline story we've got going on?
It's good that you asked me about this because I only finished watching it about an hour ago, so it's really fresh in my mind. it's really good. Like it's easy storytelling told really well where the alignments are correct, because. For the longest time, because Roman was never heel, he was in that privileged position. Whereas now, as a heel, he can accentuate that privileged position, and now he's done this complete turnaround where he's now with Paul Heyman, and he talks about, you know, eventually in the last moments of SmackDown where he attacks Jay, he is so maniacal and desperate and stuff because the family needs him to be on top. Him on top, not anyone else. It has to be him. And, oh, it's all really good. And Jay playing it really well. He kind of lucked into this position of being number one contender. And he wants to make the most of it. He's facing his family and he's just... And everything he's saying in his promos is so well. I've always thought the Usos are tremendous promos, really underrated promos, because you don't really see much from you don't really hear about a terrible Uso promo when they have had opportunity to be on the mic. When they are on the mic, like it's really good.
Like the one that jumps to mind was with Xavier Woods and Big E, that short promo where they came in and forfeited during the tag team gauntlet that the guys needed to win for Kofi to get to main, and they're like, everyone knows Uso was in the New Day, have had their wars, and I was like, oh, where's this going? And like they're very captivating.
Yeah, they're very good natural speakers. Also like the battle rap and stuff that they did a few years ago.
Yes.
Like,
oh, that was so good. Everyone thought it was going to be dog shit. And sorry, Ines has a fidget spinner. Can we just segue to this? Ines has just mid recording whacked out a Batman fidget spinner.
I don't know. I saw one. I was like, this is a good point to put them off. So,
wow.
I was getting bored and I was like, you know what? I'll use it for the actual purpose it's designed for.
Sorry, you were getting bored on the podcast that you are on.
Look.
Anyway.
And the fidget spinner.
I'll tell you what. Liam, we need to give Ines an activity to do. Ines, have you been watching this story?
No. What have I been watching wrestling wise?
We watched the G1.
We watched the G1. There you go. That's a good shout. Do you want to do your G1 segment, Michael? Do you want to take a break for 5 minutes?
Yeah. Do you want to pass that?
Michael's went.
Do you want to pass that fidget spinner? That'll be fine.
There you go. I'll pass you through the webcam. There you go. You can have it.
Yeah. Great. Awesome.
We're 5 days into the G1. it's, you know what, it hasn't captivated in the same way that it has in years past, and I think that tends to be the general consensus.
Mm. I think partly, as well, because of overexposure. Like, we've now been both watching the G1 for, what, 3-4 years consistently? After a while, the sort of magic goes away.
But I think also even the crowd aren't really into it, which is strange.
I suppose you've got lesser crowds as well. It's only like, what, 25% capacity?
20% or something, yeah.
Which, for New Japan shows, don't really matter because the crowds aren't that loud, but still, it's noticeable.
Osprey's back and isn't missing a step. I can say that because not a lot of people listen to this, so I won't get cancelled for saying he's been great. G White has taken a lot of control very early on. He's 3-0 after this morning.
He beat Okada today.
I was going to say clean. It's G White. It's never clean.
Yeah,
but like,
I think it was a low blow, if I remember right.
Not as dirty as usual.
Mm.
We've got. There are, as there always with the G1, some shows that there's absolutely nothing worth watching, and that's the case with, I think it's tomorrow's.
Yeah.
But on the next show coming up, we've got Osprey, Jay White, and Ishii, Shingo.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that should be very fun.
Which should be very good. Now that we're sort of 5 days in, you got any guesses, any predictions for who's going to win?
I think I'm going to stick with who I originally predicted. I think, like, it came down to three people when I saw, which was Jay White, Shingo, and who was the other person? Okada. Not Okada, Tanahashi even. They're similar. It's not because of anything. I'm going to stop that conversation there before I get accused of being racist. But I'm probably going to say Shingo, because he's been having a lot of really good matches. He beat Ospreay today. I think he's got one loss so far, I think. Or is it
Jeff
two?
Cobb.
Jeff
two
Cobb,
he's
right.
2-1.
2-1. So, I think you always, with the winner, get him having at least one loss. I think there hasn't been a winner who like has been flawless since Okada a few years ago. But
that's why I think Jay White isn't going to win.
No.
He's gone too dominant too early.
Yep.
He'll
lose to someone like Toriano or some bullshit.
Yeah. Well, Yano hasn't lost yet.
Mm. Yano always does pretty good. He just doesn't win.
Yeah. Same with Taichi. Taichi's 3-0.
Mm.
I've changed my pick to Naito.
Ooh, okay.
Whenever it's the G1, I never pick the champion because it's strange, but I see something where Naito wins and picks Sanada
as
his opponent.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Does something, or like picks Shingo, picks Swerveball, picks Tanahashi, or something like that. Sorry, Hiromu Takahashi. but I think Osprey will beat Okada this year, and that'll be his big moment.
Mm.
Because Okada's at such a low point in story and in real life.
True.
But yeah, it's been good. I guess I might as well plug the article I did on it, as well as full results for every night of the G1, which you can get on itrwrestling.com. If you go over to the itrwrestling.com/news/NJPW, you'll be able to find an article I wrote called Full Match Schedule for New Japan Pro Wrestling G1 Climax 30. It basically, rather than just telling you what time everything's on in Japanese time, it breaks everything down to the British start time and just tells you what matches that actually matter are on. Because, let's be honest, nobody watches the G1 to see, like, Yujiro versus Taichi. So, you know, if there's a particular guy in Japan who captures your attention, you'll be able to find it out easy. But yeah, that kind of wraps up the G1.
Michael, Woo! You can join us again.
I'm back.
Michael, you can join us to talk about NXT UK.
I'm suddenly on my phone again. No, what's there is some news with NXT UK. I know it's on TV. I know it's doing stuff again. But is
not that anyone's watching.
I was going to say, is anyone of note on it?
No.
Because they were all cancelled.
Pete Dunne's there, and looking like a bit of a heroin junkie.
Yeah,
I saw
really
Pete Dunne.
Weirdly skinny.
He looks tiny. I know he has been losing weight and stuff, but like, I would love to know what his weight is now, because at this point I'm concerned he's anemic. Like,
because
he's just vegan.
He put up a statement, right. Like, because so many people were concerned and were saying, like, he literally got a load of questions saying, are you anemic? And he said, no, it's all right. It's because he's went full vegan or something, or he's went even further into the vegan diet since lockdown. So
The vegan cult.
That's why
yes.
it's so skinny.
It must be so hard being that much of a hipster wanker. You're a wrestler, just say you like Nando's. We all know it.
But they've been doing, like, the Heritage Cup thing, and that's been fine, I guess.
On.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't watched a single bit. I'm not going to pretend.
No, neither have I, but I've seen bits and pieces. I've not watched anything properly, but I've seen bits and pieces, and it's typical NXT UK. Like, it's got the same problem that NXT UK always has, in that you can it's not very good. B, you can watch these people in other places better. So why would I watch them in NXT UK? Yeah.
But still having said Scal on TV isn't doing them any favours for the British fans that they're trying to win over.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Gary Cassidy has reported that they are close to signing several new talent who arrived at the Performance Centre for a 3-week training session. Just a few names, main one being, I guess, Adam Maxted, former Love Island guy, does a lot for OTT, ICW. Michael, he's tall, oily, and has muscles. He looks like he should be doing camp shows. He's all right. He is all right.
I will... Wait, when you say all right, do you mean his wrestling ability or his looks?
Both.
His look.
I'll
his
send
look
you a photo.
Is all right.
What's his name?
He's very tattooed. You won't like him.
Oh, I don't...
Adam Maxted.
Adam Max... Stead?
He looks like a fuckboy.
I'll send you a photo.
M-E-X-T-D.
Okay.
He looks like a massive... He looks like a bell end. He looks like he should
does.
Be a bell end.
So do most
he's
wrestlers,
on Love Island.
In fairness, but like...
He's on Love Island. He's probably a bell end.
Where's this photo,
yeah,
Ennis?
He does a lot of...
Hang on, 2 seconds. I'm not that quick. Christ.
He does a lot of the lower level indies, but he's solid, and he has the look of a WWE wrestler.
Ugh, yeah, you're right. Don't like him.
Yeah.
The face,
see what I mean?
The face is nice, but then ruined.
Yeah.
He does look like a douche. Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's 6'3" and looks like he wears tight white t-shirts to get in his Fiat 500. But other names include Sha Samuels, Sha obviously big ICW guy, part of the Pinky Party and all that. But I guess most notably had the controversial moment of being involved with Josh Bodum when they just started shooting on a ref.
Yeah.
So, you know, not a great sign for WWE.
Oh, they signed that guy? Okay. Yes.
Not the one that actually did all the shooting
on
the ref,
right.
His tag partner, yeah.
It's like, jeez. Oh, then again, this is a company that's probably going to sign Tessa Blanchard. Yes. So
Aaliyah James, she's a somewhat new female wrestler. She's kind of burst onto the scene. The British scene, at least. Very liked in terms of by fans and by other wrestlers, which I think has really helped her get bookings early on. She's good and she's in great shape and has picked up fast. But she's one of those where I think her likability is a big factor in it. Like, as a person, not as a wrestler. She was also part of the worst wrestling match I've ever seen, but that wasn't really her fault. That was more everyone else in that match's fault. Rebel Kinney especially.
Oh god.
The final two, Molly Spartan, Wolfgang's wife now?
I don't know.
Fiance? Helps with Inside the Ropes as well. Well known around Scotland, and in women's wrestling in general in the UK. Solid enough. Makes sense for NXT UK. And the last one is Tony Gill, formerly known as Impact Wrestling star Gursinder Singh. He's fine.
All right, okay.
Everyone here is the most NXT UK set of names. I guess Aaliyah James is the most exciting of them in terms of, like, when you look at an NXT UK signing and go, are they just going to be here until NXT UK crumbles, or do they have a future maybe going to NXT? Aaliyah James could go to NXT.
Yeah.
Seeing as Tony Storm seems to have died in the WWE.
At least with this, I guess also for the last 6-7 months, there haven't been any promotions running for people to gain more notoriety for themselves. So it's the industry's been quiet and they're picking up some names. So hoard that talent. That's what they do.
That is exactly what they do. But yeah, I guess wrap up the news there.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well get into what this podcast bread and butter is, which is NXT. Especially because we're at the point where your recording cut out last time, so you know.
I just checked. I just checked. We're still recording. It's all good.
Excellent. Good. Fun.
So NXT this week focused around mainly setting up for the recently announced NXT TakeOver 31.
Is that the official name? Because I had a look.
It's just TakeOver. It's not got a specific brand.
Because the logo's got 31 in it, so it looks like it's actually just called NXT TakeOver 31, which is weird, but
They've started doing that for some of them. They just announce it as a TakeOver and then don't.
25 and 30 were more special, though, because they were, like,
unique numerical.
Yeah, numerical. 31 just seems a bit weird, but anyway.
I guess because they're rushing it and they don't have a specific name for it. I don't know. I was kind of hoping that they'd start running through a lot of the old retired WWE pay-per-view names, like they did In Your House.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's like in NXT TakeOver Bad Armageddon. Blood. NXT TakeOver...
Cyber Sunday. The polls and stuff.
That would be dumb.
We've said this before. Cyber Sunday fun. And Taboo Tuesday would work great in modern era.
It would be great.
Until wrestling fans go, let's make it so that it's Hornswoggle versus Roman Reigns.
See, I want that. Because they just take the piss and it'd be funny.
But then they'd complain that match is happening. And
well,
like,
it's their own fault. Then you can blame the fans. You can literally show them the evidence.
You guys clearly have forgot about the run of WWE.com stuff or social media, Twitter polls on Raw for this better part of 2 years, where it's like, which match would you like to see Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins compete in? Would you like to see it in a no disqualification, a Falls Count Anywhere, or a no holds barred match?
Yeah, but that's their fault for giving me similar options. Give us weird options.
Identical options.
They're identical options. So
I don't know. Bring Carly back and then put him in every poll. Basically, I just want to see Carly in every match. That's basically what I want to happen.
Cool, I'm going to start the show. So, the first match of the night was the Women's Battle Royal for the number one contendership. The only two people who got entrances in this were Candice LeRae and Rhea Ripley. While Candice's entrance is playing, they're going back to just before we came on the air. And Tegan Nox was attacked by Candice LeRae. LeRae ran like a road case, like a crate, into Nox's knee. Tegan Nox was screaming in pain.
Correction, she ran a cage into her personality. Come on.
Her personality?
If I had said that, you'd be shouting at me. Yeah, good. Go on. Away you go.
I've seen stuff around that Tegan Nox has, surprise, surprise, torn her ACL again, and it looks like she's out for another year. Is that true? That's definitely torn her ACL.
It's rumors, but not confirmed yet. But it's pretty solid rumors. So
I think if NXT hadn't run an angle with it, people would have been more inclined to just take it as truth. But as soon as something becomes an angle, you expect a payoff. And with the way NXT works, you don't really build for like a full year story when people can get moved about so quickly. I'm just more annoyed that we didn't get a... I think in this Battle Royal, we'll talk about it when we talk about the match, Aaliyah gets treated like shit, and so does the Robert Stone brand, and I'm not happy about this. I think it became pretty quick, pretty fairly on, that Candice was winning. Because we knew it wasn't going to be Rhea, and when those were the only two to get an entrance, then it became pretty clear to me. Can we just talk about some of the other last-minute inclusions into this Battle Royale?
The creator wrestlers that they put in. So I was half expecting them to say, the superstar has been eliminated halfway through.
So the people that they added to these matches, are these Performance Center recruits? Are these indie people?
Apparently, yes.
Oh, okay, right. So some of the names that we've got in here Ellie, Taylor, Avery, Rita, Gia, which caught me by surprise. unemployment's doing her well. And Catalina was on Raw for a hot minute, wasn't she?
Yeah. Catalina's the biggest name. Because, she was involved in the Andrade versus Zelina. It was Andrade and Humberto versus Zelina Vega. And, Humberto and Sin Catalina Cara? Versus Andrade and Zelina Vega. Was it Sin Cara?
Just
before he was released. Yeah, we left.
And also, randomly, Marina Shafir came back for a night.
Sure.
Except was barely on the screen. It was really weird.
They just mentioned her on commentary. Like, that was it.
Yeah, so it's Gia Roman, who, based off her Twitter account, has less followers than everyone here except for Minas.
of course.
She is, I think, a former soldier, so I'm sure she will do well. We have...
Oh, and Raven.
I've got the full...
Oh, Raven, of course. How could we forget?
And then she got eliminated. God, that's so Raven.
Get out. But... No. Get out. That wasn't... That
I'm going to leave the podcast in protest of that.
You're nasty.
Rita Rees. Rita Rees, who is a Brazilian former martial artist. So good to know we've just replaced Tay Conti with Tay Conti. She was part of the 9 signings... that saw Brianna Brandi sign alongside... who else is in that group? Alexander Jackson? Jacksick? And
you're on your own here.
Yeah.
Tahuti
Miles was in that one. Santana Garrett.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Which was headlined by Austin Theory. That's
right.
Who it was.
Right.
He was number one on this list, and it's not the sex offenders one. That's a surprise. But yeah, weird to just pad out the Rumble or the Battle Royal. Did like I guess it gets these PC people some exposure, and that's what NXT is about.
Well, that's what NXT have done in the past with women's Battle Royals. Back in the day, that's like I remember one time Rhea Ripley turned up in a Battle Royal. She was not on TV yet. That kind of thing. Like, they do that with Peyton and Billy before they were on TV. They do that with the Women's Battle Royals, which I think is always good because it shows, like, the absolute rookies get an opportunity as well. So it's like everyone in the pool kind of thing. So, I mean, I enjoy seeing, like, those random... Even if a name like Raven is, like... That name's been done in wrestling. So, maybe steer...
Quite famous.
Quite famously. Maybe steer clear of that one. But yes, Women's Battle Royal, it went over several segments on the show. A lot of eliminations obviously happened in the ad breaks and stuff. Like, some continuation of stuff. Like, I think it was Caden Carter eliminated Xia Li, and Xia Li looked pissed. That was in the ad break. I think Aaliyah got eliminated in the ad break and did something Robert Stone. Right. That's right.
Didn't get an entrance, gets eliminated during the ad break. Like, do you not know where your money is, NXT? Like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Well...
Don't worry, though. We get four, not one, not two, not three, not four, but four. Casey Catanzaro nearly gets eliminated moments.
Oh, they were fun, though.
In fairness...
The first two were...
The first one with the rolling back in the handstand, the sit up with her legs, that was really impressive. And like, she's just so naturally gifted, and give Casey Catanzaro the world. She's getting better, and oh my god, I can't wait to see what she is like in a year from now. Then I remember at one point there was a really scary moment. I don't think NXT was live. I don't think it was. But when Casey was on the side of the barrier and was like holding onto the plexiglass and then it bent a little bit and then the camera cut away. I was like, oh my god, she's on the floor. She's fucked it. But it turns out it's okay. But also, she may not have been, and it was taped and she's just back up there. Who knows? But then there were a couple of extra ones. Like, she would jump onto the steps and then Indy Hartwell would kick her off and she'd land back on the barrier as well, saving herself. Really accentuating the floor is lava technique, which I think, look, Kaisa Kanzara, like, she's so good at it. And if she can be, you know, the women's equivalent of that, because Naomi's haven't been that great, the ones that she's done.
Oh, they were never good, no.
So I think for Kaisa Kanzara to do that with her ninja warrior experience, really cool stuff. Raquel and Rhea eliminated themselves with like maybe 4 or 5 people to go. I thought they would have lasted a little bit longer, but I guess it's get them out early enough that they're going to continue on. They're going to have a rivalry. That's fine. Keep Rhea away from the title for a little bit longer. That is A-okay. Shotzi eliminates Dakota, which leads to a match for next week that's been announced. And then after really great back and forth between Shotzi and Candace basically kind of like monkey flips Shotzi off and eliminates her, which I thought was a really cool spot. And I thought this women's battle royal was actually really good. Really good.
I'll let Ennis speak about this because I think he probably will have the most unique opinions as Michael, because we tend to agree when it comes to the current NXT women's division.
Oh no, what are you going to do? And keep in mind, I will hang up on you.
I feel like Ennis is probably going to have not enjoyed this as much as we did.
Oh no, I did. I know, I quite liked this. No, I thought this was good. I thought it gave a lot of, as you said, a lot of good exposure to the like performance center people. I thought that was good padding out. It reminded me a lot, like you said, of like the NXT Women's Battle Royal as a whole, the one where like Carmella won that one time.
Yes.
To challenge Bayley on that TV. Yes. That was a really good, it reminded me a lot of that.
Asuka's first loss.
Oh yeah, of
technically.
Course. Technically, on a technicality. The finish was really cool.
Well, no, she just did lose.
Well, no, it's a battle royal, so she didn't technically lose. She just, it was Eva Marie who eliminated from that. Anyway.
Yeah. It's exceptional.
Which is great. But yeah, this was really fun, and I thought the finish was really creative. Casey's stuff I really, really enjoyed. There was some point I was going to bring up about this, and I can't remember what it is now. See, this is why you make notes for these shows, because I usually make notes for these shows, decided, I'll be fine this time, didn't bother, and now I can't remember. So this match was good. I was going to say something I can't remember. If I do, I'll bring it back up.
Good contribution, Liam.
I guess I enjoyed the fact that Shotzi continues to be good in Battle Royals. Obviously, she eliminated Shayna from the last Battle Royal, so it's good to see that this is like one of her types of matches. Candice winning it, I like. The main surprise for me is how long in this match Indi Hartwell was. Indi seems to be their, like, she's not like up in the echelons of what they're currently pushing as the face of the women's division. You know, your Shotzi, even Aaliyah featured heavily, but she's a consistent second player there. And I think she's one that they see a future in, which is good, because it's always interesting to see who NXT think are in, like, have a future. And at the moment, they seem to want to do something with Casey and Zaya, because that can allow them both to develop, and then Indi is maybe slightly ahead of them. I can't really fault the result or the elimination. I thought it was impactful, it was good. I just think we should have got something more with the Robert Stone brand. I think at one point the tank should have been used for a fun spot as well.
You don't want to run, like, the tank joking in the ground, though. That's the issue.
But I think that's the point of it, you know? Like, Aaliyah getting thrown over the top rope but landing in the tank. And that pulls a nice conclusion to the tank storyline. But they seem to have since, you know, taken Mercedes to go and do important things like fuck all.
She's trying to achieve retribution. Shotzi
not supposed to get a title shot at some point?
She had a match with Io.
Oh, and she lost it, and it wasn't a non-title. That was it.
I mean, in hindsight, I've already got a plan in mind. Like, maybe Aaliyah landed in the tank, and then, like, she drives the tank away from ringside and just hangs out in the tank until, like, it gets down to the final four, and she drives back to get there, and then gets immediately eliminated or something. Like, it's like stupid shit like that. I'd be for it.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought Aaliyah was going to be the token. Ah, you thought I was eliminated, but no, here I am.
But they do that in every other battle royal. So
yeah, so it was a good mix. It was the right mix of experience and inexperience, and I'm glad Candace won because, you know, we go all the way back to when Io turned heel on Candace following that steel cage match on NXT against Shayna, and then they had that great match at TakeOver mm-hmm. Toronto. So there's story there, the roles have reversed, and I think it's believable that Candace could win.
Yep.
And that's important because I don't think there's a lot of people it would have been believable with.
I think the added danger of Johnny Gargano possibly getting involved in that match also adds to like, maybe she could steal it for, maybe Candace could get like a quick 3 week reign kind of thing, and then it goes back to Io kind of thing, which I would not be against.
Because they've been doing loads of long title reigns for the women's title recently. They've never done, I don't think they've done like a really short one in years. So that'd be interesting. No.
I think Rhea was one of the shortest ones that they did, and that was that was 3 months. Yeah. So
yeah.
Oh, Charlotte was probably the shorter one, but yeah.
Yeah, true. LeRae standing tall, Johnny coming out, them both doing the double title thing because it's been announced that Priest will be defending his title at TakeOver against Gargano. The next segment kicks off with Priest doing a interview with Sarah Scriber.
Yep.
And it's just him being a sleazy sex bag. Mm. It's him complimenting the fact that he gets to fight someone who thinks they're Mr. Takeover, but, you know, he's going to be the infamous Takeover guy now. The promo's very confident, very clear, and it's got a little twinkle of charm when he's like, "You're really good at this, Sarah. I'll see you at the after party." And he's definitely going to date rape her.
Yes.
But, like... Like, but in story, as opposed to Austin Theory, who doesn't realize.
Damian Priest's character is the person who you would imagine would have all the speaking out allegations about. That is his character. And you know what? If it's only a character, go for your life. Then, okay, my favorite thing on the show. Sherlock Dango he was backstage. He had names all of the... of the respective teams of Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch, Legado del Fantasma, Imperium, and Undisputed Era. I did that without looking. I'm very impressed with myself. And he's wearing the Sherlock Holmes outfit. The names on the board, by the way, I don't have them in front of me, but they were all funny and different. Martel Bartels was Marty Barty or something like that.
Oney Lorcan's was Uno Lorcan, and Fabian Eichner's was Fabio Acne.
Yes. So like, good. Brilliant.
It's like a Facebook message from me.
it's great little Easter egg stuff. Anyway, William Regal comes in and he tells Fandango no silly British accents. And he then gives his idea for it. William doesn't understand. So he turns to Danny Burch for the British Cockney translation of that. He understands it, and it's like, oh yes, yes, very good, very good, yes, we'll do that. I loved it, it was 45, it was 30 to 45 seconds. There was so much character in it. There were Easter egg stuff, there was humor. William Regal is a treasure and we should like protect him at all costs, and it was I loved everything about it. That's like one of my favorite segments.
I think the best thing as well is the way that they set the match up is it's going to be one member from each team teaming with another, and then it's a tag match, and then the winner of that, the tag will face off. It's batshit, right? It's convoluted. But because it's Sherlock Dango doing it, it makes sense that it would be stupid and convoluted rather than just like a fatal four-way. And Regal just being so done that he's like, yeah, okay.
Fuck it. Yeah, that sounds great.
Also sums up how they feel about the tag division, to be fair.
Also, the very perfect use of a character like Danny Burch. Like, someone who does not have a lot of humour in him, but you use him in the right way with the right people, and it makes sense, and he's naturally funny because of the character and the way he explains things. Really good stuff. Really good stuff.
I remember watching this, and I think, Ennis, you really enjoyed this, I think. Because you're the one that spotted the
names,
Easter eggs on the name board to me. Do you think there's salvage in this tag division than us, or...?
It's something different that they're doing. Like, it's not the fucking Dusty Classic again, which I'm so glad about, because the Dusty Classic always, without fail, goes to a tag team that's just randomly put together that's somehow better than all the tag teams, which just makes the tag division look shit. This way, each tag person gets more personality, and you get to see more of them, which we'll get into later, when we get to the main event as well with Undisputed Era. But each tag person gets a look in their own self rather than just being seeing them as a unit, which I think is a lot better, because certainly in like Undisputed Era and Legado del Fantasma, they're all sort of just like a nameless unit, and they all just sort of like they're interchangeable, whereas with this they all have their own little personalities, and they all have their little quirks that you can see in this. I think that works out really better.
I think the real kicker for me that I knew that I fell in love with this segment immediately, because I watched this about 24 hours after it aired. As soon as the segment was over, I immediately rewatched it again, like immediately from start to finish. Tommaso Ciampa and Jake Atlas are next. Quick, like 5-6 minute match. It's not very long, but Jake Atlas does get a bit more. Gets more of a look in this time. He's got a bit more fire to him, but it's not enough, as Ciampa should be beating Jake Atlas at this point.
Yeah.
He looks quite dangerous and looks unhinged, which is the way Tommaso Ciampa is supposed to be, and heely as well, which is always good.
He was wearing heelys. that I want to see. Ciampa just sliding down to the ring in a pair of heelys.
Oh my god, you just know that's Naomi's next gimmick.
Oh god.
You know it would go well, wouldn't it? But anyway.
When her knees really start to give out a bit too much. When she starts getting onset arthritis in her knees from the slides, she's just like, heelys.
It'll be really good. Then thoughts on
what I enjoyed about this. What I enjoyed about this Atlas segment is also the thing that I didn't enjoy about it. I really liked Atlas coming out and just being fucking pissed that Ciampa tried to end his career. So rather than being like, yay, wrestle, he was like, I'm going to do the exact same thing back to you. Here's the slingshot under the ring attempt and things like that. It was a nice evolution of the intensity of Atlas. But also he started things off with a collar and elbow tie-up.
Yeah.
Which just to me makes no fucking sense, because if someone tried to end my career, I'm not going to go, right, collar and elbow. It just felt like bad match production at the start.
Mm.
And then they kind of remembered that, oh wait, I tried to kill you, we should probably just punch each other for a bit.
Yeah.
I think it was the right result. Ciampa's new mask and then the Norse symbol necklace, really dope. I just want a story, and this is starting to get into one, but it doesn't feel... It feels like this is just going to be Ciampa runs through people for a while until the actual challenger steps up to be like, you can't keep doing this. And I just... It's important who they pick that person to be. I thought Kushida would have been a good opponent, but he's too busy being Chris Hansen, so...
Jesus.
I don't know. Ennis, any idea who... This could be leading for.
I mean, they've got a lot Ciampa. Of people on the mid card, so you could do someone like, I don't know, Bronson Reed, or like, if you wanted to. Liam just looked like he wanted to kill himself at the mention of Bronson Reed, just to give you that context.
Oh, he's not that bad anymore.
No, he's not. But I mean, if they
we'll get to that.
If they wanted to be really ballsy, they could have him be Damian Priest. And have Ciampa as North American champion just running through people, which I wouldn't be against, but also that's another dominant champion, granted in the North American division, but another dominant champion after we've had that in the women's and main division for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah, it also doesn't feel like what the North American title should be about to me. Like, it feels like the North American title is very, very much like we want to develop you, but we can't put the main title on you.
Yeah.
I just really hope this doesn't tie back to Gargano and Ciampa anytime soon.
Not now. Maybe in a couple of months.
I mean, they could, like, once we'll talk about him in the main event, but once Kyle O'Reilly's done with Finn Balor, I mean, that could be a little something with the segment that they did last week with Kyle O'Reilly coming to the aid of Jake Atlas kind of thing. So
what, you don't think Kyle O'Reilly's going to beat Finn Balor? Come on.
Sadly not.
It's just me. Just me who does that. Okay.
But the next match is that clusterfuck of a
mm-hmm.
absolutely Frankenstein's monster of a match created by Sherlock Dango. Raul Mendoza and Fabian Aichner versus Danny Burch and Roderick Strong. The we lost a lot of our roster to COVID match. And look, it's these matches are always hard to do.
Yeah.
Like strange bedfellows kind of thing. It's fine. It's not great. It was placeholder kind of thing. It just Danny Burch and Roderick Strong got the win, which is the team I would have preferred to have won. So it was fine. Fine, I guess. I don't really have much else to add to it.
It was also three heels and Danny Burch.
Yes. Yeah.
What I will give Sherdango credit for is he was sensible enough to match the people up stylistically, you know, so you had the two high flyers teaming and the two sort of strong style, if you pardon the pun, guys teaming. But, yeah, no, I think this should lead to... Part of me thinks this should lead to Undisputed Era versus Breezango because it ties in nicely with Kyle challenging and there's a story there, but also... kind of just want to see two faces do some fun stuff, and I think as much as they're in the ring trying to leave the comedic stuff behind, I think Breezango could do some really funny stuff with Larkin and Burch, where they just kind of deadpan reaction to it backstage, where like, and you could start to maybe introduce a bit more of legitimacy towards them, or for the love of God, just split up the 1-2 and let Oni Larkin go and be a single star, because the tag division's not, you have four tag teams, yeah, right? Let's just be honest. And one of them is, like, you got Vets coming back at some point who should be champs.
But you're forgetting Indeshare, that very important tag team who definitely did not get taken off TV because one of them spoiled the Keith Lee result. But, you know, you've got them.
Yeah.
You should be noted.
I thought this was...
Sorry, yep. You go, Liam.
Oh, go on. I was going to say, I think this is the... It's not the weakest thing on the show because there's some stuff that I think is a bit pointless. Mm. But in terms of length of time this wasted, it was pretty high up. It's pretty pointless.
I'd like to make note that on the lost episode of Development Podcast that we didn't get time to get to before my audio recording fucked up, we didn't get to last week's tag match between Breezango and Imperium, which I thought was really good. It was a really good tag match last week. And yeah, people like Breezango are doing a lot more in-ring stuff, which is great, because I want to see them do in-ring stuff. But then they have a night like this tonight where Tyler Breeze was also conveniently gone, where Fandango was doing character stuff and sketchy and comedy sort of stuff. So for me, they are striking that balance pretty well at the moment. I would like to see more comedy. And but then again, I'd like seeing more in-ring stuff from Fandango and Breezango because they were such a joke for so long with no credibility behind them.
Yeah.
To see them have credibility behind them and to maintain some of the comedy aspects is something I would really like to see. It shows that comedy acts can be taken seriously if you do it correctly.
The only other thing is next week, I don't know how they're going to do the crossover match next week because Bobby Fish is injured / has COVID. So I don't know if Adam Cole's going to be representing Undisputed Era in that match.
He might be. That might be the way they have to do
it. That's the only other... He's only injured for a little bit, apparently. The injury's either very minor or he has COVID. So he's meant to be back for TakeOver. So if Undisputed Era are in that match, he'll be back for that. But we might get Cole in that match next week.
Next, Austin Theory was backstage getting ready and Johnny Gargano comes up and basically tells him that, you know... To bring Priest, it gives him advice and says he'll won't forget it if he softens up Priest before TakeOver, which I think was asking him to drug Priest, but anyway, it will be a taste of Priest's own medicine, but all allegedly and all character based on Priest's side, so. It was Austin Theory versus Damian Priest, and I was on my phone for most of this, I'm not gonna lie. I'm sure technically for Priest and Theory, I'm sure most of it was fine. These two, yeah. Like, Austin Theory has no character and doesn't, so he's got nothing. And Priest isn't for me, so I don't get him, I don't attach to him, so I'm not paying all my attention to Damian Priest. It was just a match that was there, so how did you guys find the match? Because I didn't really watch a lot of it.
My first thought was, wow, this match has a Priest in it and he's not the biggest paedophile. And then after that, I just stopped paying attention.
Oh, did both of it? Oh, I'm not going to have to pick up the slack here. God damn it.
Technically the stuff was sound. Mm. There was nothing bad about it other than at one point Theory goes to do like the Tyler Bate running shooting star. And it kind of just ends up being like a leg first splash. Mm. But make me care? You've got a big uphill battle because of, you know, touching kids. But you've made me start to care about Priest. Give me matches that I want to watch. And I think this is still a problem that... And we'll talk a little bit why I've come back down on Bronson Reed since he started getting really good. And I think Cameron Grimes is still exceptional, but they're not doing much with him. Mm. But yeah, like Austin Theory, Velveteen Dream, Kushida's start to get more interesting, Switchy Catalyst, but like your heel mid carders are shite, to be fair. Really shite.
I mean, this match was a good match. Like, I'm surprised Priest took the sort of still high fly role, because he did a lot of like walked across the top rope to do a cross body, and like he did a couple of top rope things, but it was, and Theory was more of the ground guy, which I was surprised by, but it was a pretty good match. Yeah. And Theory's always been like solid, as much as his questionable paedophile, the yada yada.
Questionable paedophile, as opposed to like he's a justified paedophile.
You know what I mean. There's your episode title, we questionable sure paedophile, yada yada. But this was a solid enough match. I'm going to stop talking before I say something stupid again.
Okay, we'll have to stop the podcast then.
Can we talk about the interesting thing that's up next now, rather than Austin Theory?
Yeah, let's talk about that weird video package that showed... it's a person moving around like it's a video game... like looking for the NXT title. He says he's coming back to take what is his, with the date of like the 4th of October, so TakeOver, with the date of TakeOver on the screen. There are a few possibilities and going around and rumors of who it's going to be. A lot of people are thinking, because it's a lot of like taking back what's his, it's a former NXT person coming back to NXT. Specifically, it could be a former NXT champion, in which there are only a couple of people who it would feasibly be.
There's three people I've narrowed it down to.
So, right.
So,
yeah, you go, Liam.
I've got the transcript
here.
Yeah, great. So, it's a robotic voice. So, as much as the robotic voice sounds male, like it could be female, and, you know, they've used that robotic voice to make people think male. Mm-hmm. But it says, I'm not sure what happened. I helped create something out of my own blood. Years and years of dedication, only to be taken over by paper champions. These NXT championships have been in isolation for far too long. Now I've come back to take what's mine. I think it was the old NXT championship belts in it. But I think it was the male and female one that was in the case.
Right, it wasn't like the original one with the massive X in the middle.
Yes, this is what it was. It's pretty clear that like the focus of this is it's a former champion, you know, someone who's held these belts that doesn't like the way it's gone. When you include the people who are on the main roster and being used, so Seth, Drew, Big E, Shinsuke, and then obviously people who are working elsewhere, so Pac, The Revival, The Wyatts.
Yeah.
You are realistically left with Bo Dallas.
Please.
Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Roode,
ugh,
Ember Moon, and Paige.
Yeah.
Now, Paige is unlikely because, one, she's making about 700 grand a year Twitch streaming, so she doesn't need to wrestle.
God, she's a smart
one. And also
the
injury. I would love it to be Ember Moon because I think she would be the most interesting. The women's division would have this new member. That's great. The injury makes it unlikely.
I think her injury is really severe to the point where she's nowhere near being cleared.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been called possibly career ending. And then I think you're left with one interesting one, one good one, and one bad one. Because Bobby Roode can fuck off. Like, I had no interest in his first NXT run. I had no interest in Robert Roode. Like, honestly, stop trying to tell me he's good after TNA. Because he's just not.
I think yous are harsh on him. I think he was okay.
His matches are
boring.
Innes,
tell me one thing other than his theme song that's good.
He brought back businesses and people of high class to NXT in his original promo or something. I don't know.
He's EC3, but worse.
Yeah.
Bo Dallas would be fucking weird, right?
It'd be
but
weird.
At the same time, it would be refreshing if they did something cool with them.
Yeah.
And we know Dallas is charismatic, and you know it would be like a fresh thing if he came back and he was like, "I've been treated as a joke since leaving here, but now I come back and this place is a joke. All these paper champions, you know that." Could be
I think back to. I,
let's
I,
be
I,
honest.
I think back to just want to touch on Bo Dallas before we move on. His last segment in NXT he ever did was when he was Mr. NXT, he lost to Sami Zayn, was unmasked, and then was chased around Full Sail by security. It's one of my all-time favorite wrestling segments I have ever seen, because it was so hilarious, and if you haven't seen it, you have to watch it, because it's some of the funniest thing, where he's running around, he's getting grabbed by security, and he's yelling, "He touched my bum!" And, like, that kind of stuff. It's the greatest thing. So, if I would...
That sounds like hashtag speaking out.
So, I would love it if that Bo Dallas came back. If, Bo, like, conceded, completely blind to everything that's happening to him, Bo Dallas came back, because he was phenomenal, mm-hmm. and he's one of the reasons why I loved NXT to start with. So, I would love it to be him. If that's the case, but let's not pretend he's going to be this huge, huge star in NXT. What's the last name, Liam?
Well, I was just going to say, also, if it's Bo, it does just feel like WWE have listened to that Mike Rotunda interview where he said that Bo is more technically talented than Bray, and have gone, well, if Mike Rotunda says it, we might as well believe him. But the last name is the one that I think is by far the best wrestler, is doing... It's not going to be them, I can't see it, but the last name's Samoa Joe, and Samoa Joe back in NXT would give him a chance, one, to fix what I think was quite a lackluster NXT run in terms of match quality, because he was paired up with Finn Balor towards the end of Balor's like NXT hype. He had a lot of repeat matches, and then obviously him and Bobby Roode happened, I think, once, and no. I think if this was Samoa Joe coming back as a brutalizer, like Finn Balor beating Kyle O'Reilly and then Samoa Joe choking him out behind the ring would get a nuclear reaction if there was a crowd, and it would get a great online reaction on social media. Mm. And then you set up for something like Cross Joe down the line, two big guys beating the shit out of each other. It's the one that has the most opportunity to be good. But also, I know it wouldn't make much sense unless it was talking about the cruiserweight title. But can this be Mustafa Ali?
Oh, I hope so. But that would be
hacker looking green, robot voice. Mustafa Ali is give him the fucking world.
That would be great. I don't think that's what it is, but that would be great.
It does feel, and I'm not sure what you're thinking, so I'll throw it over to you. It does feel like everything other than Samoa Joe is not going... Or Ember Moon.
Yeah.
Is going to be bad.
Yeah, I think, for me, it comes down to either Bo Dallas or Bobby Roode. I don't think there's any other possibilities. Like, and Bo Dallas would be really fun, but I think a lot of people aren't really familiar with his original NXT title run, so they would go, on it. And Bobby Roode, I think... could be interesting. There was also talk of him coming back.
Incorrect.
There was talk of him coming back now because the Canadian borders have opened back up. So there was talk of him coming back to Raw, and obviously he's not appeared, so he could be the coming back to NXT. But personally, I think Bo Dallas would be the more interesting choice, but I'd be worried about the internet's reaction.
Yeah, it just feels
like... If we're
like...
worried about the internet's reaction, then we need to stop doing most things.
Yeah, this is true.
One of the other names I saw thrown around was Jordan Devlin.
Oh my god!
I'm not sure how much of that was because it's green in Ireland and he was a cruiserweight champ. It's not going to be. But
could you imagine, though? Oh my god.
To be fair, would we have thought we brought back Velveteen Dream? No, we didn't think that was going to happen. So this I don't think they're true. Worried about that backlash.
That there's a positive. This one can't be Velveteen Dream.
That's true. That is a very good point.
Just in case this article's missed out on anything, right? Let me get NXT champions up.
I think I can recall.
Imagine it's Shinsuke. He loses the titles.
Seth, Bo Dallas, Big E, Neville, Finn, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe,
Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn, yep.
Hold on, why can't it be Kevin Owens? He's not doing anything on Raw, is he?
He's doing like talk show stuff. He's doing like.
So he's not doing anything.
Yeah. Fuck it. It's Kevin Owens. That would. Bigger than Samoa Joe, that pop. Finn Balor turning around to a fucking package pile driver, and it's rather than fight Owens fight, it just says kill Owens kill.
Kevin Owens would be a phenomenal
Kevin Owens would be
choice.
Amazing.
Top tier pick.
I am not putting myself up to that because I don't want to be disappointed when it's Bo Dallas or Bobby Roode.
True.
But I would love it if it was Kevin Owens.
Nah, Andrade makes no fucking sense.
He's busy with the title thing,
and also Charlotte.
Yeah, Charlotte.
Charlotte blocked him getting swap brands. Apparently,
could it be an NXT tag champion?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Is there maybe a tag champ that's now gone solo?
Chad Gable.
Gable's the only one.
Oh, imagine it was Gable.
Gable would be. Fun.
I've heard he is ready, willing, and Gable.
And when you're all three of them, it's Jason Jordan. He's doing nothing.
You know, apart from
and
being...
His neck might be fine,
but you know, it's fine. It's fine.
It's Akam as a solo star.
Who's not with WWE anymore.
Yeah, I know. Exactly, that's the swerve. looking at tag champs, British Ambition, maybe Oliver Gray is coming back. Eric Rowan's been released. Luke Harper is no longer with the company. Corey Graves was told to be making a return to in-ring competition. No. I would be all for mental Corey Graves. And then you get to the Lucha Dragons, the Ascension.
No.
Buddy Murphy, maybe?
He's in a romance story with Aaliyah. Mysterio.
Oh, right. That makes so much more sense. I was like, what? American Alpha, The Revival, DIY, Authors of Pain, Sanity, Undisputed Era.
It's Killian
Mustache
Dane.
Mountain.
It's Killian Dane.
Killian Dane does not strike me as the kind of person who could even work a computer.
Oh my god, there were two belts, right? And I think Ro is out for surgery. Yeah. It's Hansen as Ivar Eric as a solo star. And then you get to like the Broserweights, which doesn't make much sense. If you were to see women's.
It's really just.
Most of the.
Paige and...
The problem is, it's not going to be one of the horsewomen and then goes half your women's champion. AJ Lee making her. I thought one of the belts was the Divas at first when I looked in it. And I was like, oh, this is the Eva Marie return everyone's been talking about. And she's going to bring the Divas title back. It's like, oh.
That would be so fun.
Magnet,
that would actually be phenomenal.
Where Eva Marie. Yeah. Where you've got the women's title and Eva Marie has the Divas. And she's like, I'm only going to let attractive women challenge for this belt. And it's like, Aaliyah gets a title shot. Fucking Indy Hartwell gets told no because she's not like the WWE mold and stuff like that. The good thing about this is I'm not another great reason I should be a writer. They can have that idea. But no, there's Paige. Then it's Asuka is your next possible one. Kairi's gone home. Yeah, they can't be a woman other than Ember Moon or Paige.
So it's going to be Bobby Roode, and we're all going to be disappointed. But, you know, it was nice fantasy booking for 10 minutes there.
Because green is the colour of money as well.
If his entrance music is gone, then I might be on board. Because...
That theme was so overhyped.
So overhyped, oh my god.
But it's glorious, though.
I guess, to tie this into main roster, the positive is, right? This is, I guess, another name. Tessa could be Tessa, because the title belts could be Tully Blanchard, tying in with that.
Maybe.
And she said recently, I think, that she'll see us all soon.
Yeah, she did a post last night, which ended with hashtag see you soon. So, possibly.
Gary Cassidy has just put, oh my god, what's this? Mm-hmm. T-Bar has, so Eric Bischoff on his podcast put, it sucks.
Yeah.
In quotes, Eric Bischoff on the Retribution storyline. T-Bar put, thank you, Eric Bischoff. You're a huge inspiration for Retribution. We too aspire to one day destroy a $1 billion wrestling company and bury it under a fiery wreckage.
That is a solid response. A solid response.
The only other name I can think of is Chris Hero, because he's not signed anywhere. And that would be... They don't like him... as much as I do.
They gave him two shots.
Carmella is very obviously... Yeah. Carmella is very obviously this mystery woman on the main roster, right? And that takes away a lot of the, oh, who could this be? The thing with this is there's a lot of possibilities. It's just, I feel like outside of Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, Ember Moon, or Paige, or like Chad Gable, Mustafa Ali, it's disappointing.
Hmm.
So, you know what? Let's double down just now. Who are we saying? Predictions each. I'm going Samoa Joe.
I'm gonna go...
I choose to be optimistic.
I choose to be pessimistic and I'll go Robert Roode.
I'm also gonna be pessimistic and say Robert... No, actually, you know what? Just to be...
Then I'll go overly ambitious. I'll go Tessa.
Okay, sure. It's not gonna be, but good luck to you.
Let's move on, because...
Listen, I predicted the last takeover spot on. So I'm putting this positivity into the world.
Look for us, and because we have to watch the show. I hope you are correct, Liam.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. Ridge Holland versus a guy, and Ridge Holland wins. Thoughts? I have nothing to add to this.
He didn't.
Don't care. Don't like Ridge Holland.
He didn't break the guy's neck, so it's an improvement.
Cool. Moving on.
He's from York. from Yorkshire. That's what we got.
There was a NXT Women's. There was an Io Shirai promo where Candice LeRae enters and like they're about to face off and stuff, and then Damian Priest bursts in, and then they all start fighting and stuff. And this basically to set up next week where there's going to be a mixed tag between them. Next week, which I'm very excited about. I love Johnny and Candice.
I was
going to
say, is that confirmed? Because that felt very clearly like where this
they
was
confirmed
set
it
off,
in the main event. Yeah,
right. Because Damian Priest and you have similar aesthetics as well, which I think helps. And I think you could do some funny stuff where Damian Priest tries to flirt on Io, and Io just hits him because it's what Io would do.
All about it. And then
main event. Oh no, Swerve.
Swerve had a promo. Sorry, we skipped that. Yeah, Swerve had a promo. He wants another shot at Santos Escobar. I didn't even say that right, but
Escobar.
Whatever.
That's a better name, actually.
You know what? It actually sums up how much they've dropped the ball with Legado del Fantasma.
Mm-hmm.
Here's this debuting faction. Here's your new cruiserweight champion. This belt that gets put on TV all the time. How's really gone? It's gone. And they lose. And again. And
you know what the biggest...
And they have the same match.
You know
again,
what the biggest downfall for Legado del Fantasma was? Is their entire faction was about the Cruiserweight title. That was the downfall of that. But yeah, it looks like that match is going to happen at some point. Doesn't even look like it's scheduled for TakeOver. So that's something. I assume Swerve will lose again.
Think you might
win. Shotzi will take on Dakota Kai next week, which is going to be fun.
Great match.
Lots of fun. We didn't talk about it last week because there wasn't a show. But they, this is the start of a new match, the Gauntlet Eliminator, which combines Royal Rumble with only pinfall submission elimination things.
Aztec Warfare.
Basically. Yes, that's right. That. Yeah. Anyway, thoughts on the format? Because I like that format. I like this format of a match.
I like the format, and they started with the two best people to do it. They started with the two best technical wrestlers in the match who could do some slow pace, mm-hmm. build the hype up sort of stuff, and then bring in the big guy to throw that out the window. Also started with who I think the person we all wanted to win this, other than Grimes maybe. Like, I think the general population of social media were behind Kyle because... he's the best wrestler in the Undisputed Era. Mm-hmm. Like, hands down. Like, in terms of the complete package, it's obviously cool. But in terms of a singles wrestler, Kyle is superb. He will have a great match with Balor. Also, it's new.
Yeah.
We don't get a lot of new stuff in NXT anymore. In terms of matches, it's, a lot of stuff's been done. And a lot of the stuff I'd like to see get done for the first time. Like a First Blood match. Can't happen because PG. Because, like, just tying back to that mystery warning, the fact he talked about spilling his blood, I tried to think of people who bled, and that just led me to think about Samoa Joe with that famous match where he gets cut open really early and it ruins the match. And I was like, maybe there's that. Has there been a First Blood match or something? But obviously, yeah, PG's a thing. Ennis, what did you think? Because I need to shoot on Bronson Reed for a minute.
Lovely. After Innes has his thoughts, I just want to have one more thought on the Gauntlet Eliminator, but go on, Innes.
Lovely. No, I think the match is really interesting. And as you said, it's a new idea. Like, in NXT, as much as they haven't in the past done a lot of new stuff, they have kind of been forced to do it now because of Karrion being injured. So, and most of the time, it's worked out. Like, you had the tournament for the Cruiserweight title, you had... basically this entire episode with the Battle Royal, the weird tag clusterfuck, and now this. So it's something new and it's something interesting. Yeah. So I think it's I enjoy it.
In the future, I would really like this match. Like, obviously, it wouldn't have worked for this match just due to the kind of people who are in the match. But in future, I would love to see this match happen where we don't know any of the participants. So we can be surprised every few minutes with a new entrant. Who is it going to be? I would love the women to do this match as well, because this would be a lot of fun with the depth of the women's division that they have. 4 minutes, depending on how... because they can make this a bigger match if they want. They can make this a 10-person match and have them every 2 minutes like a rumble kind of thing. So I think there is room to tweak and stuff. I thought this was good. I thought the match was paced well, and I thought it was really good. I think in the future there are more chances to expand to make this almost like a hyped up, when someone says we're going to decide in a Gauntlet Eliminator match, people go like, oh yeah, that kind of thing, like they do with... what they used to do with a Hell in a Cell or a TLC back in the day. So I would love to see that in the future. Obviously, this wouldn't work because no one wants the last participant to be like, who's the last participant? Cameron Grimes! Okay.
Matt Sydal.
Yeah. but yeah, but I like the concept, and I think it should 100% stick around. Liam, go on.
So we started really liking... Bronson Reed. He was doing some impressive stuff in ring. He was campy in a good way. You know, the thick boy thing was suiting his personality. It suited the fact he was a face. You know, it's hard to be a big guy in ring style and still be the valiant baby face because, you know, you overrun everyone. That's why Vader, for example, was heel for so much of his run. He's now the Colossal, which sounds like it should be heel. But he also shouts Colossal before he does a corner splash.
Oh, does he? I didn't notice
that. And that alone, he pointed at the corner and went, Colossal! And then I was like, I am done with you. You've crossed the boundary of campy to just bad. It's not his fault. He's not the writer. Unless he did come up with that idea, in which case, yeah, it's his fault. But I guess other than the result, I liked the way that they tied in Kushida and Dream's feud that obviously started with the triple threat with Grimes. Kushida coming in, hitting the Dream Valley driver so when the faces weren't looking. So then Bronson gets the splash and eliminates Kushida. I'm sure they'll do something next week where Bronson's like, I didn't know, I'm so sorry. And Kushida will be like, it's okay, I'm a simp. Kushida versus Dream's been announced for TakeOver. Nonsense aside, Kushida should win to give him some momentum, yep. And we should continue to see the evolution of Kushida's more aggressive character.
Also, question. But, will this be Kushida's first TakeOver match?
Yep. Since being signed.
Boy, does that speak volumes. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But are we all happy with the result of this?
Yes.
I feel like this or Grimes was probably the right result.
Yeah. Like, Grimes would have been a nice second option. But Kyle's better because it goes back to the thing about these people getting their own personality, like, especially in Undisputed Era. Like, for so long, we've had just Undisputed Era be this nameless unit, and as much as we know the people in it, we don't know much about them. And the best parts of Undisputed Era in the last couple of months have been when they get to show off those little things, like Kyle with the like psychiatrist thing in those segments a couple of months ago, and now Kyle doing his own stuff as well as Roderick doing his own stuff. So I think this is a lot better doing it this way.
I have a potentially hot take.
Mm. Uh-oh.
So if the match with Finn... So say the main event doesn't have... It needs to have these two things not happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the mystery person isn't like Joe or Reed or Rude or whatever, and they don't debut by attacking whoever wins that match, if they debut earlier in the show, like through a VT, like, for example, that the VT plays and at the end Samoa Joe's Godzilla cry sounds and that's how they announce who it is. You know, if they do it like that and it's not in the main event, and if Kyle doesn't win and the Undisputed Era don't implode,
yep.
Like if it's just a straightforward match, then Candice and Io should main event because there is over a year of story in that match, and Io is a much more prestigious champion right now than Finn is.
And it has the legacy of the Toronto match being really, really
exactly.
Good.
That's what I mean. Like, the build to this has been over a year, indirect, not meant like per se. But if nothing massive's going to happen in the Balor match, and it's going to be a good match, Kyle loses, and then there's no fallout. Like the fallout happens next week, then they should elevate Io's title reign further, and Io elevate Candice by having a main event.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. If you're asking me if would I like the NXT Women's Championship to main event TakeOver, I'm not going to say no, because I think you're right. I think lots of people I've seen online have made this comparison, and it's a very easy one to make. People are saying this feels like when Randy Orton became number one contender for the World Championship while he was still in Evolution
under Triple H.
It feels like that. So, unless they are gonna do the thumbs up, thumbs down thing, obviously they're not gonna do exactly that, but like, if...
Oh no, I'm all for them doing exactly like that. Maybe not the up on the shoulder thing or anything like that, where, like, when he was up on Batista's shoulders, right? But see if they did, and you could tie this back to into another thing, where like, they're up on the three of them shoulder, and then Cole goes... like that, and then they shield powerbomb him because then you're tying in Triple H and the Shield, the sort of biggest trio explosions. Also, I just think it'd be cool to have Triple H come out to stop Cole beating down O'Reilly, because he would, and I think that would be the initial seed for a Mania TakeOver match between Cole and Triple H, because I'm going to keep saying it.
You're keep pushing this.
Because
not
we deserve one Triple H NXT match before he retires, or before he's too old to put on good matches. And Adam Cole got a fucking like 4-star match out of Pat McAfee. And Triple H got 4-star matches out of Booker T. Like, Triple H got people to be upset that Booker T didn't win, when Booker T is the most, like, bit part player I've ever seen. Like, when Triple H said people like you don't get to be
champion, here we go.
I echo those thoughts, but I mean jobbers, I should specify.
Okay.
But yeah, I just think if nothing unique's going to happen and this is just going to be... Because it feels like this might be a takeover where every title is retained.
Yeah.
Then there is no harm in elevating the women's title. And at the end of the day, the most historic feud should main event. Because they're both world titles, even if they aren't.
100%. I mean, like, for example, the NXT, like, the women's title main evented In Your House, which was only several takeovers ago. So to keep this as, like, a regular thing, to stop it being like, oh my god, the women are main eventing. Can you believe the women are main eventing a pay-per-view again? Like, to make it a normal thing, do it again. Because this is the perfect opportunity, because it feels like, because it's a tag team guy, very much like what Jey Uso is on SmackDown, it's a tag team guy that's got a world title opportunity. So, it's not box office, it's not main event, but, so let's use that opportunity now to, because if NXT says that the women's title is as prestigious as the men's, it's just a women's championship instead, do it. Could make Candice and... Because I think you're right. Like, Candice and Ira, obviously, they put on one of the best women's matches of all time at TakeOver last year. So let's continue that, absolutely. Kyle O'Reilly, obviously, as we've talked about, wins the match. But overall, the show was pretty good. I mean, it established two number one contenders, so it was, like, an important show. But there was just a lot of filler in the middle, but otherwise, like, the women's scene, obviously, as we say, week to week, week to week, and week over and over and over again, the women's stuff is the best stuff on the show. They're starting to do some good stuff with the main title. The tag team title is still a bit of a mess, and the mid-card is absolute dross, with the exception of one or two people. So that's quintessential NXT. Ennis, thoughts on overall on the episode?
It was really good. Like, it was a weird episode because they did, like, so many big weird things, like the Women's Battle Royal, the tag team clusterfuck, as I'm now just going to call it, and the gauntlet match. But it was really good. They're trying new and interesting things, and I like that. NXT, when they do that and are backed into a corner to try new things, usually works out. So I thought it was a really fun episode.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel. I like the stuff that happened on it.
Mm.
But it's a weird watch. It's quite difficult to digest, I find. It doesn't flow very well. Which I think was just, like you said, them trying so many new things out on the same show.
Yeah.
Also, multi people matches always have a weird sort of flow to them anyway. I actually think that you probably could have scrapped 5 minutes off of Priest versus
100%
and given the women entrances. Yep. And I think that would have, that moment of the women, other than like your fucking GR Raven or whatever, right, who probably don't have themes, they could have been in the ring and you could have given, you know, the likes of Aaliyah, Shotzi, Indy Hartwell, Casey, could have given them that time to get over, come to the ring, and commentary a chance. Commentary, I should point out that Barrett wasn't on.
They did at the very start of the show for some reason.
Sign in full time. Yeah. Like, go in. I come into the ring now is Indy Hartwell. Indy has been making waves in the scene since defeating Shotzi with the help of Robert Stone. She'll be looking to capitalise this momentum to get a title shot and make her splash on a much wider scene. Boom, I care about Indy.
Yeah, out comes Dakota Kai. She just lost the chance against Io Shirai. She's looking at another shot, see if she gets it through. Raquel is by her side. Will she help? Will that help in the match? Move on to the next person, that kind of thing. Yeah, you're right. That would have been really good.
And that helps the pacing, and is because the show just starts.
Yes.
It's like, here's Brutality, here's Poison Pixie, boom, go. Here's a lot of eliminations quite quickly. I don't think that match was shot the best either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what comes on Wednesday. I think we might get another teaser for this mystery challenger. I guess also if it is... I've just thought, see if the women's match is announced as main event. That increases the likelihood of it being Tessa, Ember, or Paige. Because obviously, for all the reasons we just talked about, it should main event anyway.
Mm.
But can you? I can imagine Candice rolling out the ring all dramatic. Johnny, who's got beat by Priest, coming out in a crutch and giving her one crutch because the Garganos do, they make their impact. And Io Shirai doing this big celebrate commentary, putting over the fact that literally she has beaten everyone, right? And then this hooded finger comes, smacks her across the head, beats them down, stands up in the middle of the ring, drops to the knees, does the pose that they stole.
For Battlegrounds.
And then that would explain why she was in WWE Battlegrounds as well. And immediately, boom, there is an A-list feud. Tessa Blanchard, Io Shirai for the women's title.
It's going to be Bobby Roode, but nice fans.
Where else is going to sign you? Is going to sign Tessa Blanchard these days? Like, nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
AEW will take them.
It's, look...
AEW said they refused to hire her.
Oh, yeah, because the staff said, yeah, right.
Being a racist. And Chelsea Green's got COVID, so she won't have a seat.
On a night where lots of people got COVID, except the women's division, I think, like, it was a... I mean, are we just saying that the tag team division got COVID? We don't know. They will never confirm that one way or another. But overall, yeah, it was an important episode due to establishing contenders, but there was a lot of filling in there that didn't need to be in there. I assume we should be played out by Candice LeRae's Poison Pixie theme, seeing as she won the Battle Royal.
Yeah. Yeah, we like Candice here.
We are
like
a Candice fan zone.
We've heard Undisputed Era so much.
we have. Let's do the plugs and everything. I know you two are going to plug the same website, so let's go to Innes first.
Well, first of all, you can follow me on Twitter at Innes_McVeigh, IWNES_MCVEY. As Liam mentioned, I have the least amount of followers here, so if you want to change that, please do. You can also go over to a little-known website. I don't know if you know about it. It's called itrwrestling.com. And if you go on there, sometimes you might see something written by me. Hopefully this goes out tonight, where I will have a Clash of Champions preview up. I did a thumbs up to camera. You can't see that, but it's fine.
Cool. We'll work on getting this podcast in a webcam format. Liam, your plugs.
Follow me on Twitter at Liam Acher. Follow me on Instagram at Liam Alexture. Yeah, same as Innes, I've been writing for ITR Wrestling now, mainly covering sort of New Japan and NXT. We don't clickbait, and we don't put anything out that isn't written well, other than Innes' stuff. So just check out. Or to be fair, if you follow me, I retweet my articles, and that way you can keep up to date with both the Dev Pod. At Develop Podcast on Twitter, and any mainstream news. It's like following the Wrestling Observer without the autism. Regretted saying that halfway through.
Just end the podcast there. Fuck it.
No. Anyway.
Be good people.
I didn't plug my stuff.
Quick.
Go,
quick,
go. Michael Farrow on Instagram at MichaelFarrow92 on the Twitter. I am not affiliated with Inside the Ropes or ITRWrestling.com. You can send me job ads at MichaelFarrow92 as well. You can send that as well. I need work. This might be the last one after that joke, but bye.